The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. In looking back at our investigations into the mishandling or removal of classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts. All the cases prosecuted involved some combination of clearly intentional and willful mishandling of classified information, or vast quantities of information exposed in such a way as to support an inference of intentional misconduct, or indications of disloyalty to the United States, or efforts to obstruct justice. We do not see those things here.
Of course, that's 2016. Just to bring you up to speed with how that they gave Hillary Clinton a pass on the classified docs that she destroyed. 33,000 messages, and they were subpoenaed, and they were smashing phones. They were using bleach bit. What a circus show it was back in 2016. The fix was in from the beginning with respect to Hillary Clinton. Not so, of course, with Donald Trump. We've got a lot to get to on today's show. The indictment, of course, that was made public on Friday, and a number of other things as well. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this show at our website, trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com. And you can watch the live stream at 11 a.m. here in the central time zone of the United States. We have the live stream going to our Rumble channel as well. That's just go over to Rumble and search for The Trumpet Daily. And we had another good weekend, by the way, of views on Rumble. So exciting to see some good growth there. Keep in mind, too, Hillary Clinton was never president. She was never vice president. She was a candidate in 2016, but she took all of those docs. She set up a server in her basement and had that pay-to-play scheme going on. And there's quite a few commentators that believe, irrespective of what she destroyed, they believe the Chinese and the Russians hacked into her system and got all of that information, all of those classified documents, all of those top-secret documents. And with Trump, of course, they finally got him. The walls are closing in. He was president, though. He was president. There's not one mention of the Presidential Records Act in that indictment that was made public on Friday. But just think about 2016, or even more recently with the Biden documents that they found next to the Corvette in the garage and so on. Some of them top secret. I'll take you back to a BBC story from January. Top secret documents in the garage? And Joe Biden, so many of those documents, they even go back to his days as a senator. So it was before he became vice president. It was before he became president. It's really unbelievable. People see it. People see it. That's why the poll numbers for Donald Trump keep going up. They know that this is horribly unfair, that this is a political assassination attempt. That's what we're witnessing. This is from the House Judiciary Committee in 2018. Comey was there testifying. John Ratcliffe, who was a congressman at the time, said Hillary Clinton mishandled classified information more than 100 times. She made false statements about it. The FBI was aware that at least one of her aides also mishandled classified information, and one of the folks employed on behalf of Secretary Clinton intentionally destroyed evidence. When she went in for her FBI interview, I think she took 9 lawyers with her. 2 of them actually helped her destroy evidence. subpoenaed emails. Then you look at Joe Biden for his part. And of course, all of the talking heads, the regime media will say, yeah, but Clinton and Biden, you see, the difference is they cooperate. Really? How does destroying evidence show cooperation? How in the world is Jim Comey able to get out and publicly say that, yeah, she was a little bit careless, but that's it. That's it. There's no intent or motivation here to obstruct or to hurt the nation. They can only divine bad motives, bad intentions when it comes to the bad orange man. Then they know. Then they know. How come we don't know more about the documents that are supposedly so sensitive? And if 31 of the counts are for espionage, look up espionage in the dictionary. It has to do with spying, being compromised. Where did that happen? Instead, you just get this indictment about, well, Trump said this to his lawyer. And there's not even any attorney-client privilege when it comes to the bad orange man. They blow that up in a heartbeat. This is from the BBC in January. It says, papers with the highest classification level were among about 10 files at a think tank bearing his name, according to the BBC's U.S. partner, CBS News. It says, fewer than 10 classified documents were found at one of his Delaware homes. This is speaking of Biden back in January. But none were top secret, says CBS. A leak of top secret information could cause exceptionally grave damage. So as you've heard Donald Trump and his lawyers out there saying, 1,850 boxes when you count the Penn Center, his Delaware home. 1,850. And he just collected them all, I guess, when he was a senator and a vice president. In that case, there is no Presidential Records Act that could protect Joe Biden. So there's some kind of investigation going on. But, of course, they don't move as quickly when it comes to Biden. They just keep it on going, as I've covered before on this show. Listen to Biden. His reaction when he was commenting on Trump, I forget when it was, but the Reuters said that Biden says it's totally irresponsible on the part of Trump to take those documents to Mar-a-Lago. But then when he's asked about his own documents problem, notice how he reacts. Clip 10.
You said just possessing classified documents is, you said, totally irresponsible. So what was totally irresponsible but the fact that you had some?
What they've informed me not to speak to this issue.
Ah, yes. Gotta keep it quiet. I'm not to respond now because, well, it's ongoing, you see. It's an ongoing investigation. Andy McCarthy, he wants to get rid of Trump. He hates Trump. He's excited. He's excited about these charges brought on by Jack Smith. But he also sees the double standard here. To his credit, he says, hey, you gotta treat Biden the same way now. It says here, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, this is McCarthy's article at the New York Post, should thus issue a subpoena to Special Counsel Robert Hur and FBI Director Chris Wray. It says, who are jointly responsible for conducting the investigation of President Biden's hoarding of classified documents in several unauthorized locations, a decades-long pattern of illegal conduct that stretches back to Biden's years in the Senate. A decades-long pattern here that we're talking about. Says here, Jordan should demand that the special counsel and the FBI produce a general description of the documents Biden maintained in such unauthorized locations as his Wilmington, Delaware home, including remarkably his garage and his private office at the University of Pennsylvania think tank. It says, much like the Biden family influence peddling business, appears to have been backed by prodigious Chinese funding. There's plenty of things to investigate here. It says here, Biden's offenses appear to be alarming. It's been reported that some of the documents were highly classified, meaning, as in Trump's case, their exposure could have done great damage to the nation. Especially disturbing is the fact that some of the documents are said to stem from Biden's time in the Senate. So, I mean, this goes back to before 2008. It's unbelievable what these people get away with. And then, like I said last week, it's like they just taunt you. Where's the money? Oh, yeah? You think you got us? Try to see if you can find the money. Listen to Stephanopoulos over at ABC as one of the president's lawyers, I guess now a former lawyer, is pointing out these egregious unlawful acts that have gone on for decades in the Biden crime family. And boy, they don't like it. The regime media doesn't like it when you expose the sins of Joe Obama, when you expose the sins of Joe Biden in this case. Listen to this exchange, clip 8.
Don't you believe in the principle that no person is above the law? If the president committed the same crime that someone else did, shouldn't he be charged?
No person is below the law. That's really the issue here. I mean, you've got these investigations in Delaware that are 1,000 times more serious by a sitting president who has authorized his DOJ to try to sink the candidacy of his prime opposition while that guy has unsecured documents that he stole out of a skiff dozens of years ago. So, look, you know, we're not talking about some sort of favoritism.
What are you talking about? That is a ridiculous statement.
There's this issue. Nice try. There's an issue that anyone that reads any newspapers would agree is a parallel track, which is the Delaware document scandal of Joe Biden, where there's a special counsel, Rob Hur, that's investigating it. You know that there were documents that were sensitive, that were marked classified, found in a garage near a Corvette that made their way through Chinatown, through the Penn Biden Center. There's 1,850 boxes that have never been fully looked at University of Delaware. You have the ultimate unclean hands of a current sitting president who had no declassification, had none of the protections of President Trump.
What are you talking about? Says Stephanopoulos. He doesn't even know about it, I guess. They get a complete pass, those people. This is from McCarthy's article. Let me just finish. Again, he's giddy, like Bill Barr and others. Yeah, Jack Smith, they got him. President Trump's not going to be able to be president next year. But there is the double standard. McCarthy says, given that, unlike executive officials who are in 24/7 national security jobs, senators are not permitted to remove classified intelligence from safekeeping. They may only view them in a secure locations on Capitol Hill. In other words, Biden just took them with them out of the skiff. And that's what the attorney there went on to point out with Stephanopoulos. He stole them, in other words. He stole them. He wasn't just gathering up things in the White House where he was working. He never was in the White House, not until they stole the election in 2020. But he just helped himself. I guess like Sandy Berger, he probably stuffed them down his pants or somewhere and just took them home, took them to Delaware. It says here, if Biden had such documents, he had to have taken them, not accidentally, ended up with them. It says, what's more, the FBI is said to have seized notes from Biden's private locations. It says here, officials with security clearances are generally told to avoid taking notes, which must be classified at the same level of whatever classified document or briefing they annotate. It says, notice that one of the felony charges against Trump relates to notes he made. Such notes may not be maintained in unauthorized locations. It says, yet Biden apparently made them and kept them in just such locations. They do all the things they accuse their opponent of doing. That's what we're seeing here play out yet again. Clinton was just, you know, careless. That's all. Biden, just a little bit careless when he stole them from the skiff. But Trump, of course, they can divine intent. They know there's evil there. I mean, he's a Russian agent, after all. So the laws apply differently. And the thing that's just outrageous about this, here Jack Smith, he writes this 40-some page indictment and doesn't even mention the Presidential Records Act. Listen to Kash Patel. Now, he's worked for Trump. But listen to him describe what Trump did and describe this law, this statute, the Presidential Records Act. This is number 6.
President Trump brought things with him from the White House when he was leaving the presidency. It doesn't matter if he took a sticky note or 10,000 boxes of information. Last count I had it, President Obama was still going through 3 million pages of documents he took. And it doesn't matter what's in them either. The same law would apply to him. And so the Presidential Records Act is simple. The president can take whatever he wants when he leaves office. That's it. And here's the kicker. Part of that act says it becomes his or her personal property. That means it transitions from being U.S. government property to the personal private property of the past president. That's the Presidential Records Act in a nutshell. If Congress wanted the classification acts and espionage acts written in the 50s to supersede the Presidential Act written after it, they would have written the Presidential Records Act differently. The law that comes after supersedes the prior unless Congress says otherwise. And they didn't say otherwise in the Presidential Records Act creation.
So Jack Smith goes back before the Presidential Records Act, and he lifts the espionage statute out and says, yeah, this is what applies to Donald Trump. I mean, if some judge were to say, if he's found guilty and they sentence consecutively, he could literally be in prison for hundreds of years, which, of course, is just what the regime media wants. It's just what the regime wants. It's what Barack Hussein Obama wants. They want to see Donald Trump rot away in jail. They want to see him die in prison. And that's why they're so exuberant and excited about now. The walls are closing in. Listen to one more shorter clip from Patel, clip 7.
It's what charges have they levied based on what laws? They're opposing the Espionage Act versus the Presidential Records Act. The latter supersedes the former. So it doesn't matter where they were and who moved them and how, if President Trump is the recipient of those as President of the United States when he left the White House. It's a pretty simple matter.
You know, it's interesting. I talk about the regime media and just how excited they are. But there are some saner voices that even though they despise Trump, they see how dangerous this precedent is. They see this as a political assassination attempt. This is from the Wall Street Journal editorial board. Again, no big fans of Donald Trump over there. But it says here, a destructive Trump indictment. Do prosecutors understand the forces they are unleashing? What a dangerous precedent this sets. That's what the Wall Street Journal is pointing out. It says here, whether you love or hate Donald Trump, his indictment by President Biden's Justice Department is a fraught moment for American democracy. They go on and on about the threats to democracy, even as they shred it. Even as they take the Constitution and turn it on its head, it says here, for the first time in U.S. history, I mean, who's upending constitutional norms here? Donald Trump? He's just running for president. He's out there campaigning over the weekend to big crowds yet again. For the first time in U.S. history, the prosecutorial power of the federal government has been used against a former president who was also running against the sitting president. This is far graver than the previous indictment by a rogue New York prosecutor, and it will roil the 2024 election and U.S. policies for years to come. So much worse than the Bragg indictment because this is Biden's DOJ. Going after Donald Trump, going after the Republican frontrunner. Says here, but it's striking and legally notable that the indictment never mentions the Presidential Records Act and allows a president access to documents, both classified and unclassified, once he leaves office. It allows for good faith negotiation with the National Archive. That's what was going on. That's what, for a year and a half, Donald Trump, the FBI was going in and out of Mar-a-Lago. And of course, Trump has all the Secret Service people there. They suggested, yeah, get an additional lock for the storage over here. And he did that. That's written into the PRA. I mean, you've got the back and forth. You can negotiate. He had presidential powers, after all. Something Clinton and Biden never had when they were hoarding all those documents and destroying them in some cases. It says here, yet the indictment assumes that Mr. Trump had no right to take any classified document. It just makes that assumption. As I say, they can divine intent. It says here, in the court of public opinion, The first question will be about two standards of justice. Mr. Biden had old classified files stored in his Delaware garage next to his sports car. When that news came out, he didn't sound too apologetic. My Corvette's in a locked garage, okay? That was Biden's response. They don't hold his feet to the fire. They don't raid his Delaware home. They don't subpoena him and call him in and put him under oath. None of that happens. Biden says, so it's not like they're sitting out on the street. With Trump, it's totally irresponsible. With Biden, he can joke. Hey, listen, they're by my Corvette, but that's a secure garage. It's not like they're out on the street. I mean, come on. It says here, AG Garland appointed another special counsel, Robert Hur, to investigate, but justice isn't going to indict Mr. Trump. That's the Wall Street Journal editorial board pointing out the obvious. The DOJ, listen, the DOJ is not going to indict Mr. Biden. I think I might have said Trump. It's Mr. Biden. Two-tiered standard of justice. This is the inescapable political context of this week's indictment. The special counsel could have finished his investigation with a report detailing the extent of Mr. Trump's recklessness and explain what secrets it could have exposed. Instead, the Justice Department has taken a perilous path. They could have come out and given the 15-minute press conference like Comey did in July of 2016, saying that, you know, what Secretary Clinton did was, it was careless. But, you know, we're not going to go as far as to say it was gross negligence. Certainly, there's no violation of the Espionage Act. She's Hillary Clinton. It says here, the charges are a destructive intervention into the 2024 election, and the potential trial will hang over the race. That's language Trump has used. This is election interference. And here's the Wall Street Journal editorial board picking up with that and running with it. As I say, these are no fans of Donald Trump. A lot of these people would also say, look, we don't agree with what's happening here, but, you know, Trump should still step aside because, you know, he's Trump. They're cowards. That's what Donald Trump said of Bill Barr over the weekend. He's a coward. He won't fight. He sees Jack Smith's indictment as very condemning of Trump. And yet he was there as the AG. Not during Clinton's period or her run in 2016, but he was certainly there some short time later when you've got Biden documents floating all over the place. Nothing happened. Nothing happened with Hunter's laptop. Nothing with respect to the, what, 1023? The bribery scheme, all of that, so much of that under Bill Barr's watch. This CBS News poll, let me just give you a short quote. Donald Trump vowed Saturday to continue running for president, even if he were to be convicted as part of the 37-count federal felony indictment that was issued against him this week. I'll never leave, says Trump. I'll never leave. Look, if I would have left, I would have left prior to the original race in 2016. That was a rough one. In theory, that was not doable. They've been going after him for 7 years. And how beautiful is it that this weekend he says, I don't care if they indict me, or I don't care if they convict me. I'll still run. I'll still run for president. I'm not going to quit. Quite unlike so many in the Never Trump movement. They just say surrender to the mob, surrender to the regime. CBS News poll, Trump posts biggest lead yet over DeSantis. He's at 61%. DeSantis is at 23%. That's a 38-point lead. There's other polls suggesting it's 40-point lead. So two indictments. You've got the Biden DOJ going after Trump with this second indictment, and his popularity is rising. This is from the Wall Street Journal as well. I'll just give you the conclusion. It says, it was once unthinkable in America that the government's awesome power of prosecution would be turned on a political opponent. This was unthinkable just a few years ago. But not now, and not in Obama's America. not in communist America. Now this is something that's seen as normal, I guess. Talk about crossing the Rubicon. It was once unthinkable in America that the government's awesome power of prosecution would be turned on a political opponent. The seal has now been broken. It didn't need to be. However cavalier he was with classified files, Mr. Trump did not accept a bribe or betray secrets to Russia. The FBI recovered the missing documents when it raided Mar-a-Lago. Remember that? So presumably, there are no more secret attack plans for Trump to show off. It says the greatest irony of the age of Trump is that for all his violating of democratic norms, his frenzied opponents have done and are doing their own considerable damage to democracy. There's the Wall Street Journal basically saying now Trump's upended democratic norms as well, but so have his opponents. This is a communist attack on the United States of America. America is under attack. The communist infiltration, it's talked about in a chapter of He Was Right. And of course, this book, first as a booklet, has been around now for 10 years. If you don't have a copy of the hardcover version of the book, just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. Listen to the former Attorney General, Bill Barr, speaking about the classified documents. Clip 5.
This entire thing came about because of reckless conduct of the president. If he had just turned over the documents, which I think every other person in the country would have done, they're the government's documents, they're official records, they're not his personal records.
Every other person in the country would have done this? Hello? How about Joe Biden holding on to them for decades, helping himself to classified documents in the skiff, in a secure location, and then just waltzing out with them? Hillary Clinton certainly wouldn't just turn over the documents. She destroyed them. There's Bill Barr. He has more in common now with Obama's wingman, Eric Holder, than he does with Donald Trump. He really wants to see Donald Trump behind Barr. Not Hunter, not Joe Biden, certainly not. Not Hillary. But Donald Trump, that's different. This is from Sundance. It says, the documents do not belong to Trump. This is quoting or paraphrasing from Bill Barr yesterday. He made the rounds again. It's like Mark Levin says. Now, Bill Barr's the new Avenatti. That's his name. You know, the lawyer for Stormy Daniels who was on the shows every single night. Now you've got Bill Barr popping up all over the place. The expert, the expert never-Trumper, says the documents belong to the government who created them. That's Sundance paraphrasing Bill Barr's position. Look, this is the government. These are government documents. Certainly not Donald Trump's. It says here, so saith the defender of the omnipotent Department of Justice. It says this is where a sharp intellectual knife to cut through the chaff and countermeasures is needed. And notice no one brings up the visible and practical deconstruction point. It says, if the documents did not belong to Donald Trump, then why did the government dump them in the parking lot of the White House and tell him to deal with them? That Sundance actually has a picture of this. So right around the time after they stole the election, the government, the omnipotent government, they just piled up boxes from the White House in the driveway of the White House and said to Donald Trump, now you go ahead and you wonder how much of all of this was a setup from the very beginning. There's the image. You deal with, if they were so sensitive, why would the government ever put them out there on the driveway? Sundance says, if the documents belong to the government and not to the man for whom they were created, then why did that same government give them to him and force him to take them to a location of his choosing? He took them to Mar-a-Lago and set up a secure location there. And then just not that long after that, then the setup begins. The FBI visits time or two, and it's all nicey-nice. But you see, Operation Get Trump, that really, that sends people into a fit of derangement. I think we can get him now. He's got all those documents. They're so sensitive. Listen to this again from Bill Barr yesterday, clip 4.
I do think we have to wait and see what the defense says and what proves to be true. But I do think that even half what Andy McCarthy said, which is if even half of it is true, then he's toast. I mean, it's a very detailed indictment, and it's very, very damning. And this idea of presenting Trump as a victim here, a victim of a witch hunt, is ridiculous.
You're ridiculous. What happened to him? Think of the transformation, the fundamental transformation of Bill Barr. Like I say, he's out there. You see him every day almost. Attack Trump. He's leading the Get Trump movement. As I say, there are some saner voices that are disturbed by the precedent that this sets. This is Gary Abernathy over at the Washington Post. It's an opinion piece, but still. It says, when the federal indictment against former President Donald Trump was unsealed Friday, I scoured news reports looking for the bombshell that I believed had to be there. Perhaps allegations of trading classified documents to a foreign power or leveraging secrets for business gains. Short of that, I was convinced charges would not have been filed. I was wrong, says Abernathy. The 37 charges in the indictment were mostly based on information already in the public record. Other charges amount to various ways of saying he withheld or concealed or schemed to conceal documents or records. These are just creative ways to charge Trump with numerous crimes over one central action. It says, in a country where many experts agree that too many documents are classified in the first place, bringing felony charges against a former president for possessing some is overkill. But that's the whole point. 37 charges. I mean, why stop? I think it was supposed to be 102 sensitive documents. So why stop at 37? Why not 102 count? Put him in jail for 1,000 years. Says, let's also be clear about this. Bringing charges related to the possession of classified documents against a current or former president for anything short of colluding with our enemies or selling them on the black market is unnecessary, unwise, and destructive to democracy. Who's undermining democracy here? This is a Washington Post. Says here, it will exacerbate our political polarization and dominate the daily news cycle, much like the Russia collusion hysteria of Trump's first 2 years in office. No one can be looking forward to that. It's just stunning to me that Bill Barr can't see this. One good commentary says here, but the biggest downside of indicting Trump is the profound line crossed by a sitting president using or abusing to many millions of people, the power of the state to arrest and possibly imprison a political opponent. With this indictment, our country has entered dangerous new territory. He goes back and talks about 2019, how that Trump just made a phone call to Zelensky and said, you should probably investigate this Biden bribery scheme. And he was impeached for that. The Democrats were just up in arms. How could you? Biden hadn't even said he was going to run for president at that point. We didn't know yet. I mean, people suspected he would, but we didn't know. He didn't announce, I'm going to be the basement candidate for 2020. And yet they went after Trump. They impeached Trump because this was making that phone call was a political move on the part of Donald Trump. It says here, to many inside the country and beyond, Thursday's indictment will appear as more brazen and even authoritarian in nature. That's someone at the Washington Post. It is interesting to watch to see how many people are actually coming to the defense of Donald Trump, even though they hate his politics. Even though they don't want to see him return to the Oval Office, they can see how outrageous this attack is, how brazen it is. In so many ways, it's worse than the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. It's worse than Spygate. It's unleashing the DOJ on Donald Trump to try to put him in prison for the rest of his life. Listen to Eric Holder. He's Obama's wingman. And, of course, Obama's the one. He's the one pushing all the buttons at the DOJ, the FBI, and so on. This is Eric Holder commenting on all of these indictments that are piling high. And in the process of this commentary, and that's, again, you look at all the commentary, they bring out the Obama people, the host, the girl that's giving the questions. She's an Obama person. They all are. Doesn't matter which side of the table they're sitting on. It's basically, hey, we got to have some good commentary this weekend, so let's bring out Obama officials. Here's Eric Holder for his part, clip one.
I think that people have underestimated the impact of this indictment, the one in Manhattan, the two others that I expect, one in Georgia, the January 6th one that I suspect will likely be placed in Washington, D.C. Now, I'm not a political pundit, but I think at some point you certainly won't get beyond, you know, the Trump cult base. But for people who are on the fringes of that, on the outside of that, are likely to have been negatively impacted by all of these cases brought against the former president. And I think that that'll have some electoral effect.
Electoral effect, he says. That's the goal here. That's Eric Holder saying the quiet part out loud. Look, we've got two indictments already. There's two more coming. So in the end, I mean, let's not underestimate the impact that this is to have politically on Donald Trump. So he believes that even the majority of Americans are going to come around finally at some point and see that, well, we can't have Trump. He's a criminal. 61%, that's where the bad orange man sits after the two indictments. And when two more are issued, it'll probably be up to 71%. But there's Eric Holder saying the quiet part out loud. Of course it's political. Of course, that's the goal. The aim here is to keep him out of office. Listen again to Eric Holder from yesterday on the prospect of Donald Trump becoming president, even despite all these indictments and perhaps even a conviction. This is clip two.
Our notion of fairness, of the rule of law, at that point, I would hope that an impeachment proceeding might be considered, not only considered, brought, and ultimately he would be removed from office.
So there you go. Again, all politics. Says the host, what happens if he manages to still win the nomination and then the election? Even as all these cases are going on or they're being appealed or whatever. And then Eric Holder says, well, hopefully then they'll impeach him and get rid of him. But somehow, some way, we just have to get rid of Trump. We have to get Trump. This Florida case, it's in the Miami area, not Washington, D.C. And the judge that was randomly chosen to preside over Jack Smith's indictment, she's a Trump appointee. So there's Democrats as if right on cue. They are up in arms. You can only imagine how intense the pressure will be for this woman to recuse herself. That's the way it has to work for the Democrats to get fairness. They've got to get an activist judge in there to preside over, or else it's just not going to be fair. Listen to Eric Holder as he weighs in on that development. Clip three.
The New York Times is reporting this morning that Trump-appointed Judge Aileen Cannon was selected at random in this case, which is, of course, how it works in many districts, and will oversee it unless she recuses herself. How concerned are you about that, and should she recuse herself?
Well, from the perspective of the government and from my perspective as a citizen, I'm concerned about her handling this case. Based on what she did in the earlier phases of this matter, I'm not sure that she has the legal acumen to be a judge in charge of such an important case. I certainly don't think that she has the ability. I don't think she has the ability to project the notion of neutrality. I don't have confidence in her abilities to be fair or to be seen as fair.
There you go. Straight from one of the dirtiest cops in American history. He's telling you what's fair and what's not fair. We've got to get the right judge in there as well. Look, Jack Smith, he did his job. Yeah, and we blew the dust off the Espionage Act. So that's in there. Yeah, and what Trump did, I mean, it was dangerous. It put the American nation in danger, grave danger. And so now the judge is appointed or randomly selected, and they're demanding that she step aside. Well, because she's appointed by Trump. You see how the process works. This is Michael Goodwin over at the New York Post. Here again, Rupert Murdoch. These sources are not fans of the bad orange man, but nevertheless, listen to some of the commentary following that indictment coming down on Friday. It says, while his case, the title, it's scary how badly they want Trump in prison. The derangement level here, it's scary. They want to put him in jail on any way that they can. A bookkeeping error, or in this case, a document, a letter from Macron, says here, while the case will ultimately rise or fall on its merits, it's indisputable that Trump is being treated far more harshly than either Biden or Clinton were under very similar circumstances. It's indisputable. Of course he's being treated differently. Says here, all three kept classified documents where and when they shouldn't have. Only one is being prosecuted. And here again, the one that's being prosecuted had presidential powers. The omnipotent government dumped the boxes in the driveway on Trump's way out and said, here, you deal with them. You get them organized. We'll go back and forth and figure out what you can keep, what you shouldn't. Says here, all three ran for president, but only one had his campaign spied on by the FBI, an action later found to be unwarranted. And only one was the victim of nonstop FBI leaks to the media alleging collusion with a foreign power that helped undermine his presidency. Even though many of the leaks were found to be misinformation, it says, does it matter that one person subjected to these extreme measures by the government and media is a Republican while the other two are Democrats? Only a fool or a liar would deny the obvious. Trump haters, some of whom call themselves journalists, justify that sordid history of misconduct against him by calling him every vile epithet under the sun. He had it coming, they say, and believe he had no right over ever to be president. He just had it coming. He's a horrible person. We can divine the intent. Just listen to us. He's evil through and through. So it doesn't matter if you get him on a processing crime. Just put him behind bars. Look, he's 76. Just get one count. Put him away for 10 years. That takes him out of 2024. They'd rather him just rot in jail. It says here, there's no concern of the unprecedented nature of the charges, only jubilation that he is the first former president in American history to be charged with federal crimes. Many fantasize that he will die in prison. They fantasize that he will die in prison. I don't think I got to this one from Mark Levin the other day. I played a couple on Friday, I believe. But listen to this from, I think this was his reaction Friday night to the revelation, the indictment revelation, clip 11.
This is a document case. A document case where a president of the United States or a former president faces 100 years in federal prison. Is this some kind of a sick joke on the American people? Joe Biden says he never told them what to do. Joe Biden had to sign off on this becoming a National Archives case to have it go to the Department of Justice. Who does he think he's lying to? The American people? This is a guy that's got documents from the time he was in the U.S. Senate, for God's sakes, in his garage. I don't want to hear from the legal analysts the technicalities about false statements and obstruction. This should never have been a criminal case. Willful retention of documents. Well, what's the unwillful retention of documents mean? They're throwing all these process crimes and all these crimes that grow out of the criminal investigation against Trump. What did he do with the documents? Did he sell them to the enemy? No. That's why we have an Espionage Act, not the trick of a president.
He's exactly right. a little hot under the collar. But they're using the Espionage Act to trip up a former president who's the Republican frontrunner. Nothing in the indictment about what happened to the sensitive documents or if Donald Trump gave them to a foreign adversary. None of that happened. Just things he said based upon lawyers that were pressured by a judge to testify. Never mind attorney-client privilege. Mark addressed that the other day as well, clip 12.
But they throw the book at him. They go after his attorneys. They make them testify. They're attorneys under the crime fraud exception to attorney-client privilege. That means he didn't have due process. His own lawyers were being subjected to interrogations.
No due process. Attorney-client privilege doesn't apply to the bad orange man. If he says something to an attorney, he better be careful. I mean, on the other side, you can say whatever you want. You can strategize, you can plot, you can lie. And it's all protected by attorney-client privilege. Think of Hillary Clinton going into that FBI interview. And I don't even think she was under oath. But she shows up with 9 attorneys. There. I think she said, I don't know or don't remember 39, 40 times. She hides behind attorney-client privilege, even as a couple of her attorneys were responsible for destroying the evidence. No due process for Trump, though. No, and what did Comey say there at the top? No reasonable prosecutor would ever pursue a charge like this. I mean, she was just, careless. She was careless. There was no willful intent when they were destroying 33,000 emails. They couldn't get willful intent out of that, but they can get willful intent out of Trump taking the boxes they dump on the White House driveway and say, hey, sort this out. We'll get back to you. Listen to Mark Levin again, reacting to the Trump indictment and at the same time exposing these many crimes carried out by the Biden crime family, clip 13.
20 shell corporations, $10 million coming from the communist Chinese military, spread out among the family, no businesses to support this, endless meetings with Hunter Biden's business partners, Bob Alinsky, who ties Joe Biden to the crimes, Mr. Big, Mr. 10%. And what does Biden say? Well, then where's the money? He's asking us, come and catch me if you can. The idea that this man isn't under a criminal investigation and that they criminalized a document case to go after Donald Trump is sickening. Democrat Attorney General in New York, Democrat prosecutor in Manhattan, Democrat prosecutor in Atlanta, Democrat Attorney General in Washington, D.C. What do you mean he's not above the law? There is no law. What's going on here is a disgusting disgrace. It is war on Trump. It is war on the Republican Party. And it is a war on a republic.
Democrat prosecutors, all these radical Democrat judges, they don't get one in the Florida court. And their heads explode. All of these prosecutors, all of these investigators, radical Democrats, heading up these operations to get Trump. War against Trump, he said there. That's our January issue of the Trumpet magazine. If you don't have a one-year subscription, it's totally free, no cost, no obligation. But call our operators today and request the Trumpet subscription and then also, of course, America Under Attack, the most publicized book on this show, the 800 number. It's 1-866 930-3024. The email address, if you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, is td@thetrumpet.com. I guess rather than cut away to a promo, we can just finish the last 4 minutes or so with some email feedback. Hopefully I have enough emails here in my notes to fill up the time. Otherwise, we might finish just a few seconds early. This one here says, I have not commented before today. I have received and listened to your courageous ministry for many years now. I've read the Bible 8 times. The Holy Spirit testifies that your words are all true, and the truth is a joyous thing. Thank you. Many prayers are said for you, your father, and your ministry. Another one here says, thank you for so often sharing Celtic Throne feedback with all of us who can't be at all these shows, though I'm sure we would love to. It says here, I love how many people are getting to watch the show. Glad it was a sold-out performance. Wow, those people were so excited, so contagious. Now I'm excited. I mean, you hear the feedback, and again, she's talking about the sold-out one in Millville. That was up in New Jersey. We had a near sellout here in Edmond on opening night back at the end of April. But that's really the greatest shame in all of that feedback that you hear coming out of every single show is that you just wish every single seat in every arena was filled. Maybe that's coming sooner rather than later. We certainly are doing more this year to try to promote the show. And, of course, it's been going strong now for 4 straight summers. So a little bit of name recognition, I'm sure, is there more so than it used to be. But we're doing most all of the promotion ourselves, in-house, just like we do with the production itself, an in-house production. You heard the feedback from the last show, that dance teacher that basically said, I can't believe you're from Central Oklahoma. I can't believe you produce this with just one school to work with. Another one here. This is email feedback. I started watching the Trumpet Daily in 2020 when my world changed overnight like so many others. I've known about God's church for pretty much my entire life, but have always put him and his word on the back burner. It says, you and your helpers were just about the only people who could make sense of anything, and still are. I started listening to you mostly to keep up with the politics. Being a mother of 3 who works full-time, I could not keep up with all the crazy. You kept me well up to date in only an hour a day. It says, within a year, you were my only news source. I started looking more towards your Bible scripts at the end. I have laughed, cried, sometimes both while listening to you. I have also been humbled enough to reevaluate my way of living. It says, in man's eyes, I'm a saint, boring, a law-abiding person. But through you, your father, prayer and Bible studies, God has opened my eyes to many of my sins. It's true. If you ask, he will show you. I've noticed you answer many of my questions in those few short minutes that I pray about. It says, this has happened to me too many times for even a skeptic like me to ignore. She's talking about just the effectiveness of the Bible study segments, and just again, you speak to God's position on any given subject, and it's always convicting. It's always, I mean, it always pricks your heart, like it says there in Acts chapter 2. It says, one thing is for sure, I am thankful for you and wanted to let you know that the work God does through you and his church has been life-changing for me. Many of the days of this program is what keeps me sane and reminds me of hope. It says, may God continue to bless you all. One other one here quickly. Mr. Palmer did a great job last Monday filling in for you about the way Germany defines pride in their country compared to how our 2 Israelite nations define it today. We're going to build a bigger segment around that as well. You're just seeing so much disgusting promotion of deviant lifestyles, and it's celebrated in particular here in the month of June. So we'll come to that more perhaps even this week. If you'd like to submit feedback, the email address is td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.